after the rain. If you stay dry and undercover, you'll miss the newly washed world outside. You can still catch remains of the potent draft, heavenly dew hanging in the air, too light to have fallen with the rain. And the wind's sweet breath is here too, come from many worlds away, muttering with a distant tongue, murmuring the finest fragments of the first words. Mingle with this good company, be doused clean with resurrected water, get baptized in this instant. Draw in the pristine air that has journeyed for countless years, been spun by planets, pulled by comets, lit by stars, refashioned light. If you close your eyes, drink in slowly the lingering water, you might taste Jupiter. Be avoided. Friend, what if your pain was a gathering place for the too many sorry events of your life, of unwanted memories like dragged slaves, all pressed together, held in an airless train, stopped dead on its tracks, mouth gagged with no water or bread, forced into silence, walled in, ignored and abandoned? Go there. Break through the barricade. Find the sorrow of this petrified place and take its hand. Move it gently. Offer support to its naked bones. Moisten the fused dry lips with thawing tears. Ask what is hiding there. Kindly coax the secret dread. Place yourself at its service. Offer today's fresh fruit. Give it time to chew. Then walk it through the broken wall into the open air. Be patient. It may move slowly. Now see through its eyes a new world. It may stare out in wonder. It might smile, laugh, cry. Don't drop its bony hand. Put it to your cheek and ask yourself, is this what I was afraid of? The beloved came. That evening, the beloved came and with sleight of hand, unfastened an old corset around my heart I hadn't known I was wearing, opening floodgates, sending up wreckage of shame and regret. Some mine, some others, burdens that barged, never belonging, but docked there. Each unhooking released a binding of weights. One unleashed a cry of my mother and my mother's mother and the sounds of her motherland until a strangling note was freed. Then each loosened lace let in an islet of sky, exposing filmy layers. Old images, fading transparent, burning away all cover until I was naked in the light of night. The media flower, this refers to a crepuscular state or activity which has to do with twilight and those beings that only operate or become enlivened by twilight. The media flower, crepuscular flower, coming alive at the golden edges of the day. At dawn, she spreads a glow upon the ground. I glimpse her briefly opened eye before she draws into her narrow profile. Then, when the sun has reached past its zenith and I have stretched to the limits of my day, the curled and inconspicuous media held back in quiet cover during the great blaze of daylight unfurls her modest petals in a dance of no hurry to expose the remains of the sun. This August sun, which draws me out into the fast doing world, loosens its hold, and the humble media, with her golden leash of fragrance, guides me back into her mild yellow face and red bindi dot, brings me to the sun of my own knowing. Cricket. I room with a cricket. His taut, spring-loaded, leggy body occupies little space. In daytime, he's reserved, withdrawn. In the evening, he's a troubadour belting pulsating love songs. Although I'm not his first choice, I'm contented to be a second, listening to his broken plumes. The woodpile. The one who piled this wood left a bit of biography here. Each log and branch placed with close attention, as if the great fallen cedar and woodsman spoke to each other in a silent language of form, its gestures guiding him in motionless grace, the turns of its limbs shaped by its reach to the sun and succumbing to the wind. Now point to where its branches might be laid among its once mighty roots that anchored in the earth all its many years. When it was sawn and falling, first in a long, slow motion, then sped up by gravity, cracking open the wooded silence with its own thunder. Did the earth pause? Severed, its body was reclaimed for yet another purpose, carved by human hands, piled into a heap of sawn limbs, sized for the stove, but left there. I imagine the one who found the random mound, repositioning each wizened branch like a petal of a flower, as if arranging for a sacred funeral pyre with contemplative regard, an ordered beauty grown out from heartwood, like the living tree itself. Where goodness is found. Here it is, a small red boat. A rosy smile bobbing on the sea, but easily capsized by the stunts of big fish, or caught in the jagged archway of a whale's Goliath mouth, opening to eat or swallow the ocean, his nature no less than good. The great fish provided lodging for the prophet Jonah, who had run away from what had been asked of him. Who is not like Jonah running from God? Frightened and unworthy, who is not caught by some hook of hypocrisy deep in a pocket of the belly, or does not fall short of compassion. Still, Jonah was chosen, not because he had become perfect, and not for his constant faith, but for God's faith in him, in us. How else could we be released into the sea of life? To enter a trace of such faith, here is goodness. If each one of us ate one small grain of our darkness, there wouldn't be so large a portion for the scapegoats to swallow. Mother and child. Mother, her face, as familiar as the sky, her touch, second nature. Her skin, your skin. Her voice, the one you turn to. Her smile, the warmth of your world. She loved you as no other, hurt you as no other. And long after her warmth, like smoke, passes into the periphery and the first-hand pains fade to the horizon, all that was in the repertory of touch is held in an old photo. You take in the breath of the world and see out into the landscape differently. And you love her as you love the sunset. Child. Her face as startling as creation. Her perfect fingers orbiting to feel the new world. Her closeness as pliant and deep as the marrow of your bones. Her breath miraculous as life. Her smile a proof of God. And as she blossoms like an animated star, the space between you grows. The distance in the hundreds of ways she distances, in the hundreds of ways she must. And when she leaves, you take in the breath of the world and see out into the landscape differently. And you love her as you love the sunrise. Ishq. So ishq is a Sufi word for divine love. It also is interestingly, my former husband's nickname is Ishki. He's also a dear friend. So, Ishk. I undid our common ground. Or was it your jackhammer? You opened my eyes with a crowbar, hugged me with vice grips, drenched me with your kiss, flashed a trick mirror on my viewpoints, tried punching holes in my reason with a power drill. Did I believe our trailing and jagged love story should make sense, not get ugly? Your left field logic and hyperbolic metaphors dizzied my mind as you argued me tirelessly to the mat, exhausted into why bother? I was no match for your woolly wisdom and mammoth energy. But beneath your ladder and hammer, I grasped your unbearably tender pomegranate heart, leather-skinned heroism shielding easily bled seeds. I shielded them too. Your visions dragged ruin in their wake. And as life threw you wrecking balls, you hauled them up your mesa and kept their wreckage for art, feeling privileged for being chosen. How could something so wrong be so perfect? For cheating death, you won a three-cornered character, Sisyphus, Zorba, and Job. But would Bucky call it a stable triangle? Fires stripped your land, storms collapsed your home, wind dropped a tree on your dome. The orchard you planted in the manner of Solomon withered and died. Neglect and a hard-to-kill credo weathered your bones and your gut turned on you. The Almighty's fist delivered you to the emergency room often. You smiled in the face of it, arose and loved God the more. Life's pummeling thinned your armor, tenderized your flesh, made way for light to breathe in. And your love of creation grew more verdant out of the dust. Sometime after our amicable demolition, out of ground zero, a slow refurbishing began. First with expansion joints, giving way to spacious new additions, whole new wings widening my heart into spacious living rooms, opening into gardens of poppies and sunflowers, stinging nettles and roses, near large enough to hold your flourishing, calamitous spirit. Mayflies mating in June. The lifespan of an adult mayfly can vary from just 30 minutes to one day, depending on the species. The primary function of the adult is reproduction. The mouth parts are vestigial, and the digestive system is filled with air. No dark secret rendezvous, hiding beneath a table or dim corner getaway. The light by my entry door, your spot for romancing. My hands turn the key. I take a voyeur's glance from the corner of my eye. As I enter the house, you tumble through my doorway, ecstatically somersaulting in the air, ignorant of the limits of human doors. What could distract your rhapsodic dance? Not I. My fixed eyes are of no consequence. Modesty, an absurd fabrication of civilization, a dried out cobweb, not phasing your uninterruptible wedlock, held in place by filament legs, anteriors fixed and fueling. What have great lovers throughout time over you? Indeed, all love is all you live for. Your food, survival, your raison d'être. So gorge yourselves, suck each sweet moment dry. What higher truth or nobler purpose than to love and die for family, for species, for existence? You are the pulsations of gypsy violins, a signature of Zen brevity, first and last kiss of a silent motion picture. At last, exhaustion slows your tandem skydive, pausing vertically end to end, together an anchor in space. taking a gentle love doze. Have you come to the end? I wait and wonder. Then a stir, a quickening. Your emptied passion is renewed in one gossamer thought. You arise as if a delicate wind curled through my window, raising you both in a rapture, soaring amidst rare sparkling ethers, lifting ceiling above cathedral height, transcending even the likeness of angels. The unwatched night, when the sun leaves us for the other hemisphere, the night goes unattended. That other dark, unruly side may show up and join you, wield its influence. Your will become willowy. Good intentions get slanted, unclear, or take a hike. Details get dropped or lost, and you know the devil who roams there. You eat a little more, drink a little more. Shadowy solicitors capture your interest, reflect you with funhouse mirrors. You make unspoken deals with yourself and those others. In the morning, your tongue is thick and your soul hungover. Stay inside tonight. Sit by the ash-choked hearth. Sweep around and free the embers. Blow the sparks. Ignite a revival. Retrieve the days passed by meetings, hidden signs with inside stories. Mysteries waiting to be cracked open. Shine firelight on them. Or watch this awaiting moment that's never before been seen. Of the blue. Can our hearts be large enough oceans to hold the love that comes from the sky? Can we bear its serenity, flooding us with stillness in its free embrace? Can we envision all that has been extinguished, stirred, and newly lit up into luminous blue? Can we, even if briefly, dwell in this in-between place, hold what mingles from life dust in its twilight of matter? We imagine its boundless province to forever be in the background as worlds spin and unravel their stories again and again. Can we fathom its azure veil of protection, shielding us from the unendurable face of God? Jerusalem stone. Only one stone is used for the buildings of Jerusalem. Native rock of this land, I speak to you. Your long withstanding and broken face is everywhere here. A face that is a crypt of civilizations. Your pores like eyes squinting in the sun, witnessing from your dense silence. Could the sum of reverent visitors and mortared prayers know the apocalypse petrified inside you? You are the teeth of the skyline, speaking out in different tongues, a ferment of sweet and hardened voices, of calls and prayers and curses, commingling in a dissonance, a drone of unresolved diversity. Stone of Jerusalem, your body, colors of flesh, pink and white, ochre and tawny, lifted from your calcified underground sea, carved into bricks, brick upon brick, foundation stones upon which the holy temples, churches, and mosques aspire to bridge earth to heaven. Bring down the prophets. I want to see them, all of them from posts of different times, gathered together here, speaking in tongues of light, beaming upon one another, giving honor to one another, rejoicing in glorious communion, joined with echoing choirs of hallelujah. What is hard in us will someday turn to stone. What is light will rejoin the stars. Wild light. No corrals, fencing shadows, mountain ranges, nibbling trees, or grass grazing it. Without rain bowing it, mist weighing it, or dust trapping it into a sunset. Free in open, groundless desert of space, to go unbroken at its own speed, beyond. Kindle the ashes of another universe, or rest in the hidden primordial dawn.